It is still, even in February, the Unpack Podcast here from AcmePackingCompany.com and SB Nation, coming to you today via the official Glenn's Not Dead Yet Memorial Zencaster account. Thank you, Glenn, generous patron. I am Zach Rapport, dialing it in from Albuquerque, New Mexico. We got Alex. We got Nick. Nick's, how many martinis in are we at this work function? What happened tonight?
I said a few, which I guess indicates more than two, but it was only a couple. It was two.
And now you have a hangover already.
Yeah. It's weird. Just even, man, not to show my age, but unless you keep her going, the hangover sets in quick. So yeah. I'm on my hydration train at this point, but it's all right. Wake up feeling better that way. I feel like three martinis used to be like, all right, now I'm ready to like go out. Although when I was in my going out phase, I was never drinking a martini. Let's say a vodka soda. Four vodka sodas. I'm like, all right, now I'm primed to like go drink 100 drinks at the bar. Now it's like, where
yeah,
is
yeah, you got
to
prime the engine first. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm having
one beer, and this is like the beer that I will have for like the next 4 days. Probably.
We're not washed up. Don't worry.
I'm a little
maybe a little washed.
Well, we talked at the beginning before we hit record. I started working with a fitness coach for the first time ever in my entire life, trying to not be washed. But Alex, Nick, it sounds like you guys were workout buddies with Peter Dinklage, right?
Oh,
well, we were trying to remember if we had ever in our what is now 12 years of friendship, if we'd ever gone to the gym together. I remember in Milwaukee, you belonged to that. Was it a Planet Fitness?
Yeah, it was the one that was like connected like through the skywalk system so that I never had to go outside.
Excellent.
Which, you know, my job, my home, the gym, you know, somewhere that you could get enough food to sustain you for however long, like the polar vortex lasts, all of that was accessible. Yeah. Without ever technically stepping foot outside. So yes, I did belong to that. I don't think we ever did that, but we did once do a class, like one of those, like, you know, whatever,
like a HIIT class,
like a HIIT class at the gym together. And at the time I was going to that gym, and this was like the peak of the ending of Game of Thrones, and Peter Dinklage goes there, and I would see him like quite a bit there, actually, which was, you know, always just kind of interesting. It's like funny to see someone that's like at their peak of their relevance, maybe of all time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this was like in the final season of Game of Thrones, when there's like all kinds of spoilers like flying all around the internet, and everybody, all that everyone's talking about is the conclusion of this show. And yeah, he would just be there at the gym. I never talked to him, but others mustered up the courage to approach him. But he seemed like he was always nice. But I've still never done that really with any celebrity.
Remember when I did with Aziz in New York, when you were like picking me up in your car outside of our old place of work? And
yeah,
we ran into him in an elevator or something, and I'm like, it would be so annoying if I said anything to him. But that was right when there was like a big spoiler with Master of None. And
yeah, that was another like peak of his fame moment.
Right. And I wasn't going to say anything, but I was just kind of awkwardly, like, it was just me and him in the elevator. We're just kind of like, he knows I recognize who he is, because of course anybody would. So I asked like a stupid question. I was like, so whatever. And he goes like, yeah, you're going to have to watch and find out. And I'm like, cool.
Shouldn't
have said anything.
He politely shut you down.
Yeah. So that was in my, that was probably after I had lived here for like a year or two. And I'm like, well, I'll just never do that again.
Oh, man. All right. Well, how are you guys feeling? I mean, I personally like felt a little empty past couple weeks without some meaningful Packers football. I don't know.
Yeah. I think that there's definitely an emptiness there for me as well. There's still that like bitterness that exists that I almost can't enjoy watching any other football.
Yeah.
And I think the only thing, and I would think most people are on this page who are not 49er or Chief fans, would be that Lamar Jackson could have at least made the Super Bowl like something we could have a rooting interest in.
Yeah, totally.
So there's an emptiness in that, like it's like this big day and everyone always wants to do something and blah, blah, blah. And it's this huge event. And I truly don't know that I could stomach either of those teams winning. And unfortunately, like a draw does not exist in this format. So
it stinks. It's so boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really was the worst possible outcome in terms of who
I just feel like all the good guys lost. Like if it was the Lions and the Chiefs, like, okay. Like I would be, you know, interested in seeing like, can Detroit like, you know, do this and bring some payoff to like so yeah. many years of misery.
It's like it's like a WWE title match between two heels. It's like,
exactly. Why? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Not much to look forward to. And I don't
know how. Halftime show? Huh?
I guess. Wait,
who's doing it again?
It's not Usher.
It's Usher. That's yeah.
What? I don't mind.
Continue to show my age. I'm like, I'll watch Usher.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. I wonder, and we don't know who the he'll probably bring somebody cool out.
Yeah.
I guess that's something. The thing about like how we used to be able to look forward to the commercials, like now all these campaigns leading up, you kind of have a good idea of what we're going
Isn't
to
it
see.
Insane?
It's so stupid.
They do teasers for Super Bowl commercials now, as if it's like a feature length film. It's so funny. It's amazing.
Yeah. And my like. I don't know. The way I like critique everything these days, my cynicism is like, have you seen like the Michael Cera thing like that has gone viral with this? There's this like, I don't know, like face wash product, I'll pronounce it wrong, CeraVe or something
I know the one you're talking about.
But there are all these like viral things like, oh, Michael Cera is carrying around all these things. Why is he acting so weird? I'm like, this is so obviously like everybody with half a brain understands it's that. I'm like, but there's enough of the population like that will like go on a Reddit thread and be like, why is Michael Cera is acting unhinged? Why is he doing this? I'm like, everything is just a stupid campaign now.
I mean, well, not every like, okay. This
Sorry, I'm talking to someone who works in advertising.
Yeah,
so,
well, I was going to say this conference call we're on right now is three people who either currently work or have in the past in some capacity worked in marketing and advertising. Yes. So obvious to
us. Not everything. It's like the big bill stuff, not like the good, like bespoke ads. I think like some of like I saw today to run a 30-second ad is $7 million during the Super Bowl.
Insane.
That tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of eyeballs.
It is. It makes sense. But in terms of gameplay, I don't know, like you've got everything points to like the Mahomes juggernaut, like this versus like the Brock Purdy, like you would almost wish you could root for Brock Purdy as like the, you know, the young trying to get his feet underneath him. But that team is such a super team that you can't root for either of them.
Yeah, and he's just so, I don't know. I want to like him. Like being the last pick, like,
yeah.
It's a cool story, but he's just so like, this is, you know, this is prejudice, I guess, but he just like looks and kind of sounds like central casting of like an aw shucks, like high school quarterback.
Yeah.
And it just bothers me. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I grew up like a nerd and a punk, but it just bothers me. I don't like him,
but you're our nerd and you're our punk.
Oh, thanks. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just gonna say, what was the quarterback? What was the Friday Night Lights quarterback? Matt Saracen. He kind of gives you Matt Saracen vibes if you ever watch that show.
It's giving Matt, yeah.
It's giving Matt Saracen. But anyway, sorry, Zach, I cut you off.
No. I was gonna move on unless we want to continue to talk.
We don't
about
need to belabor this.
What we don't care about in the Super Bowl. I don't know. We want to give you guys a little bit more off-season content, not every week, but, you know, come up with something, because we're still thinking about football sometimes in the off-season. And we were chatting a little bit kind of in the days following the Packers' loss to the Niners. And one of your observations right after the season ended for the Packers was how this year's team made you fall in love with the Packers all over again. I thought that's nice. And that'd be a nice sort of feel good topic for us. But in getting ready for today's show, Nick said something like, "Oh yeah, Alex had that topic idea about being sexually attracted to the Packers again." So I don't know I guess we'll call this little segment conversation falling in love, parentheses, perhaps sexually, and parentheses, with the Packers all over again. But I don't know if Alex, you care to elaborate on that thought, maybe not the sexual side, but or oh. You know, whatever, freak what you feel.
Let's see. Well, I think that, you know, that probably just came from a place of, you know, being so downtrodden like earlier in the season for that very, very brief moment, and then kind of like going on this you know, just this ride where it felt like, you know, this thing really it could just peak in the Super Bowl. And I still think, sitting here today, that you know, they are a Super Bowl team. Like they could very easily be playing in this Super Bowl. Like, I never would have thought that they were, but that, like, the way everything has played out now, they certainly are. Which is great. That's obviously easy to love. But I think what's really nice, again, is just kind of like having this vibe, and like, you see a lot of the videos that would go around of like LaFleur in the locker room after games or big wins, and like they just seem very, very, it seems like a fun place to work right now. Yeah. You know, like the workplace culture at the Packers seems really, really good. And, you know, even in the later years of He Who Must Not Be Named, it did just feel, and it's crazy because he was winning MVPs, but in terms of like holding on to the magic that existed when they did win the Super Bowl, and then when they won 15 regular season games the year after, and then when you felt like they're definitely getting another crack at it, and then they fell short against the Seahawks in the NFC Championship, like that was the peak of like my relationship with that team. And then like up until this year, it kind of just felt like we were holding on to something that we all knew was just, you know, probably ran its course. And now it's like the start of a new fling. Yeah. And it's a great thing, and it's beautiful, and it's I'm just back. Like, I'm so back. I was so jaded, and it's not because they weren't winning, because they were. That's the thing. But like, it just didn't feel good the way that this feels good. And maybe it's because they're not supposed to be winning this early. Maybe that's part of it. But I guess just not having expectations and then being so pleasantly surprised is, yeah, the absolute best outcome for a sports fan, I think, kind of. Like,
it does remind me of sort of 08 and 09, He Who Shall Not Be Named takes over for other guy who probably shall not be named at this point.
Name a lot of these guys.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Well, great track record there. But it reminds me of that time period, and sort of like having low or no expectations, being pleasantly surprised, then being like, oh, we got something here. And then like the fun of trying to get to the mountaintop, and the fun of like trying to beat back the detractors and the doubters along the way. That's kind of like, I feel like that could be next season, and I'm excited for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause like in that time, like, I mean, literally, like, you can look back and it's like, yeah, time is a flat circle. Like, now people are putting together like pump up videos with Colin Cowherd doubting the Packers quarterbacks, you know, like, it's the same exact shit. And that was amazing. That was like when it felt like, instead of having like all these expectations and all this like weight on our shoulders, we just had a chip on our shoulder because we felt like we had to prove something. And then once that was proven, then everybody, you know, then came like the, you know, why aren't they doing this every year? And like, are there comparisons to the Patriots, which is so unfair to, you know, compare any franchise ever to something like that, right? So, yeah, I really enjoyed most of this season. And I think we're really going to enjoy next season. And then I think that's like our not window to win, but our window of like, just soak all this up while you can before any of it gets like too real, you know?
Yeah. So I think it would have been, I hope, and I don't know that they will be, but I hope the Lions are still favored to win the NFC North next year, because
I would think they would be and should be.
I would think right? so too. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. I think that would be the case too. But if they were playing in the Super Bowl, I feel like it would almost certainly be the case, because they're not really losing very many pieces. But yes, operating from that underdog or quasi underdog standpoint is, it just makes you romanticize all of it so much more.
How can you not be romantic about football?
Yeah. Oh man.
I'll put a quarter in the jar for that one.
Yeah, it's you deserve that one.
Yeah. Let's back up though, Alex. You talked about, you know,
you want the sexual attractions.
No,
yeah.
No.
That's what you want.
A little bit.
No.
Let's make it dirty. No, you know, you're talking about the Super Bowl in 2010 and the year after that, and then you pretty much said like that was really the window, and then everything after that is like holding on to something. You think we're never gonna get there again? Did you really feel that way the whole time?
No, not the whole so the Packers were to me a Super Bowl winning caliber team when they lost to the Seahawks in the NFC Championship
in 2014,
and that they should have been there. And then you know, the other NFC Championship game appearances, like I went into them not feeling good, and then they got, you know, embarrassed. I remember the Falcons one was absolutely outrageous. I don't even think I finished that game.
We talked about it. We were at Tom and Jerry's, and you went shopping afterwards or something.
Yeah, like, yeah, we went to REI first. I forget what, some type of outdoor thing.
But that Tampa game, I felt like they were better than that team.
Actually, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That's all funny. Right, so maybe, that Falcons game, that was a year, maybe it was two. It was a year before, Alex, I met you. So we didn't know each other, I don't think.
It was before, really?
Yeah, because that would have been 2015, right?
I don't know, actually.
I think it was 2015. I like want to Google it.
I feel
it
like
now.
It was later than that.
All right, Google break. Hang on. Packers, Falcons.
It would have been 2016, I think. Packers, Falcons. That season.
2017. Yeah, so the 2016 season. Okay, so never mind. We knew each other. All right. I was going to say, because you were at Tom and Jerry's, which I had never been there at that point, I don't think. And but I was watching the game at a friend's house who lives like a couple blocks from there. Were going to have like a sliding doors moment there, but got my days mixed up.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I just felt like that everything after the Seahawks won to me had like a different tone to it. And it's weird to say, because there was also more MVPs to be had, and again, more NFC championship games to be had, but that felt like the window to capitalize. Yep. Like that felt like our version of what the Chiefs are probably coming to their tail end of now, you know. That's again, unfair comparison. They've been more successful, but yeah, you know, we could be entering that phase soon, hopefully. Yeah.
I think something that I felt this year that made me fall in love, I think, again with this Packers team is we talked a lot about Matt LaFleur and like, oh, he's going to get to run his offense, and like whether or not that's valid or not. I think it is valid though. I think we got to see like a very skilled young quarterback running a top offensive minds scheme as it was intended. And it reminded me of, again, 2009, 2010, when like Rodgers is coming into his own and he's clearly so talented, and I'm going to ding myself there. And he's getting ready to light the world on fire. But also McCarthy's offensive scheme at that point was like really right time, right place.
Yeah.
Like, so I kind of feel like we're seeing that again. And that just made me nostalgic.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also think we'd be remiss in not mentioning like our reestablished trust in, well, I don't know. I've always been a Gutekunst apologist, at least a little bit. I thought he had done some pretty good things with some pretty glaring misses as well. But to turn this around, or not even really turn it around, but to like to show like you've got the right pieces in place, and to have such a good rookie class impact things the way that it has, it's almost like organizationally, you know, this team is going to be in a good spot. And it took a little bit into the season, but he didn't miss very much in this draft class, and it just makes me excited with all the draft capital that they have next year and what they have to build upon, being as young as they are, that like it could, like this could really be a fun powerhouse to get behind for a while. So I don't know. It's exciting to have all of this promise for years and years to come, because like I equate it to, like NBA wise, to how the Bucks were 4 or 5 years ago when they couldn't get over the mountaintop, and then they did, and then they had a couple more years where they weren't able to get there, but they still had some of those core pieces, and now they're in like a free fall right now, and they're holding on to the vestiges of some of the guys that they won the championship with, and they're trying to like figure out what the coaching looks like, and it just seems like you're like, you still have that talent there, but it's like you're in your twilight years, and that's how some of those Packers teams felt as well.
Yeah,
not like not the very beginning, that like, you know, that ascent, which their Packers are so early on in that ascent, and they overachieved so much this year. So we're gonna have a fun handful of years. I think that's easy enough to say right now.
Yeah. If we do want to pivot slightly and talk about the parentheses, perhaps sexually close parentheses. we talked like 2/3 of the way through the year, like, what do we need to see from this team? Like, but back before playoffs were a possibility, what do we need to see from this team the rest of the way to feel like this season is a success heading into the off season and into next season? And one of the things that I remember saying was, just some more wow throws from Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. And then he proceeded to have like 3 a game for the remainder of the season and into the playoffs. And so, yeah, sexual attraction, boner alert. Excited for more wow throws.
Boner alert.
Yeah. That reel is already pretty extensive, and it's been 1 year of starting games. So that's pretty wild, I would say. Again, the parallels are crazy. So
if you look at their schedule next year, I saw a graphic today. We don't know when they're playing which teams, but it looks like it's so easy to say right now. You never know. Like, who knew the Texans were going to be what they happen to be this year? And they do end up playing that AFC South division in 2024. But there are a lot of pretty winnable games from where we stand right now on that schedule next year. Like, you've got the North, and nobody, Lions will scare you. Who the hell knows what the Vikings are going to look like, and the Bears are the Bears. And then who do they play? I know they play the Niners. I don't know who they play in the NFC. I could look it up.
They play the Cardinals, Niners.
Oh, so it's all the NFC West.
Yeah. Rams and Seahawks. They also play the Eagles.
Eagles, who knows? The Eagles kind of seem like they're in a little bit of free fall right now.
Yeah, that's an interesting, they're an interesting team. They always like, they like the cycles that we're describing as Packer fans that are like 12-year cycles are like 3.5 year cycles for them. It's really weird and accelerated. Yeah, and they like totally. Reach that peak really high and then they go the bottom right down. Just drops out. Yeah. Yeah. Really yeah,
very
weird.
True.
But yeah, they play the Texans as well. Colts, Jaguars, Titans, and Dolphins.
Oh, so, Dolphins again.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, like, those are some winnable games. Anything is winnable at this point.
Yeah, it's February. Like
you have no idea. The table. but there's going to be a lot of those games that they're going to be favored going into, right? Like, I'll be so curious. They got to shore up a bunch of stuff, and we haven't even talked about our new defensive coordinator yet.
Why don't we? So, I feel like you're teeing up a pivot there.
Well, if we're here, let's talk scheme.
Yeah.
Or what scheme could look like.
Is it
a
4-3?
Is it a 3-4? Is it a 2-4-5? Which are a 3-6-1? What did Gutenkunz say? Everything's a nickel now. So
yeah.
Which is true.
It's not, yeah, it's not false. But it's funny, you know, 2 weeks ago when we last recorded, that was our who should the Packers hire episode, who are they interviewing? And we had Justice on, and he listed just a boatload of names with a lot of information about why we should or should not hire those people. And then they hire this guy that was on nobody's radar, Jeff Hafley of Boston College, but probably intentionally so. Probably, you know, if you're the head coach of a college football team and you don't get that pro job, but it is found out that you were looking for the pro job. I mean, I don't know. You guys probably watch more college ball than I do, but like recruiting and like all that, the sort of year round mill of being a college head coach is kind of compromised by that, I would assume.
Yeah. There, and it's a whole new game with the portal and NIL and everything that comes with it. So I don't even fault the beat for having like, nobody had any idea yeah. on this one. So nobody was really caught with their pants around their ankles. It was essentially Hafley and the search team being extra cautious because you don't want to mess up someone's livelihood if they don't end up getting the job.
But it was funny that the news broke a day after Tom Silverstein, who I love, go on record saying I love the best beat guy that we have. I love Tom Silverstein, but he had a little mini tangent on Twitter or X or whatever about bloggers, and it was a little old guy bloggers, and they don't have sources and don't trust them and blah blah blah. And it's like, Justice Mosqueda is a blogger. Justice Mosqueda most definitely has sources in and around basically every team, and like going back to like XFL and stuff. And then the very next day, the news drops that it's Jeff Hafley, and the Packers beat, the legitimate Packers beat, had precisely zero scoops.
Yeah.
No intel at all. So anyway, love you, Tom.
I mean, yeah, that's it's sort of it's the resistance of what new age media looks like. And trust me, it's often a little presumptuous and bad, but it can oftentimes be really good too. So,
yeah,
you know.
I mean, I get where he's coming from. Like, everybody out there, don't listen to me. I'm not breaking. I'm a blog guy. Yeah. I'm not breaking news. But not everyone is as dumb as me. There are people who are well connected and know their stuff.
Yeah.
So. I also thought it would be funny to point out our friend and colleague John Meerdink, who contributes at APC, but also does the powersweep.com and Blue 58 podcast, which I recommend you check out. He did an episode kind of just a really straightforward look at Hafley's kind of career journey. Just all the facts. So everything that you would ever want to know, but he has preemptively purchased firejeffhafley.com.
Ooh, yep.
And so it reroutes to a page on the powersweep.com, the site that he runs, where he will be keeping track of a number of key performance metrics of Jeff Hafley going forward, in the spirit of the perpetual Packer fan exercise of wanting your defensive coordinator fired. Although he makes clear, he's not saying, let's fire this guy right now. But
smart to get out in front of it.
Yeah, yeah. Sit on that web domain, man. Those things can be worth millions.
So I guess let's talk about it. I mean, we know as much as... So Zach, you recommended that podcast. I listened to it. I thought it was, just like you said, a really digestible, straightforward understanding of where he's been, some of his preferences in and the systems that he's been within, which I think is cool coming into this situation that he's in, because he's had a little taste of all of these schemes, NFL and college. So it's almost like he's not coming in as like the rigid, you're going to run this scheme guy. It's almost like, let the players indicate how everything shapes up, which I don't know. It's definitely a big swing, but it's, it gives you some, I don't know, some fun wrinkles that we're not exactly sure how things are going to play out.
Yeah. Not to go too, make too much of an aside, but you said big swing. And I do think that, you know, right now I want to give Matt LaFleur credit for, I think, taking a big swing. Now it might not work out, but I feel like, you know, his first go round of hiring for this position was the opposite of a big swing. So He's course correcting here, and a lot of fans and bloggers out there didn't think that he had that in him. So props for the moment.
I'm excited about the continued movement to hire what I feel like, I guess the best way to describe them would be like relatable coaches for players, I suppose. So that's good. He also, you know, we don't exactly know what he will run and what the base Packers defense will look like, but I think we have enough of his background to know that it will be different enough from Joe Barry to satisfy us. Like,
yeah,
you know, to there's a baseline level of satisfaction of it just like not being, you know, the next closest thing to Joe Barry, which I don't even know who that would be and how he would be getting interviews for this job. But, you know,
I mean, Ron Rivera's possibly taking interviews. So.
Yeah, we had a drink with Wink.
Had a little drink with Wink.
He did have a drink with Wink. Yeah, he was a legitimate candidate. But you know, I'm not like disappointed that didn't happen. And again, it just makes sense because Jeff Hafley. It can only be three syllable names to because that's the only way that Mike, it's just gonna
Joe Barry
fire Dom Mike Capers. Patton, fire Joe Barry, fire Dom Capers, fire Jeff Hafley.
Oh like, no, is that the harbinger?
I think it is. Like I was kind of like thinking maybe we need a long name, but now
the prophecy foretells that someone with three syllables will break the cycle. It's gonna happen. Yeah.
Yes.
Jeff Hafley's kind of hard to get out of the mouth though with the two F's.
It's true. Hafley. It's a little bit of a marble mouth situation.
Jeff Hafley.
It was more like my phone, Nick, you've poked fun at me for this for the last year. My phone has auto-corrected Joe Barry to Joey Barry. Shout out to my friend Joey, who is a huge Packer fan who I know does not listen to our show. now we've moved on to Hafley, who will forever be Haley, I think, on my phone. We'll see if I can train it. I know I can like go in and make it learn the new. I know I can do that, but come on. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. I love that we talk about Joe Barry enough that even your artificial intelligence in your phone was like so familiar with him that they felt like they had to call him Joey, like a morph.
it's like the old nickname.
Yeah.
How you razz one of your buddies.
Did anyone watch the season premiere of the final Curb episode?
I haven't watched it yet. No.
There's a thing in there about something very similar to that. Not related to artificial intelligence, but on how familiar you have to be with someone to, like in this instance, call him Joey and not Joe.
Hey,
but,
Joey zones. Joey third down.
Joey off coverage.
Joey 8 yards off. But Haley is supposedly a little bit of the opposite. You mentioned Petten for a second there. I think more in that school, kind of the, a little bit more of the Baltimore style. So I think we're going to see, we've been told, a little bit more of a 4-3, which will be interesting. You know, we don't have Justice here to make us really smart, but we've got some players who have been playing sort of pass rush outside linebackery roles who could be playing hand in the dirt. Maybe a little Gary, maybe a little LVN. Should be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, I don't know. That's what Gary was at Michigan, right? Yep. That five tech hand in dirt guy. So get some of these dudes who have extreme athletic ability. And then, you know, I would love to see what an untapped linebacker situation looks like with Quay. Like if they want to run certain things through him, which from what I've read, like who knows how it all plays out, but like if the defense sort of runs through that in the middle of the field and he can kind of, you know, be sideline to sideline, but also like run stuff, or if he can play a little bit of like, I don't know. I think they still need to figure out like what that safety situation looks like too. Cause they need to.
The safety room right now is just like, you can hear like an empty breeze in the room. There's no one in there. The room.
But
if
he doesn't have to cover tight ends, that would be great. And if you can bring someone into the box, it all depends on what the personnel looks like.
Yeah.
So, and they could use some, or they could use some defensive back help, like having, I don't know. It's tough because we even said when they traded Rasul, like we all probably would have made that trade too, based on what they got in return from him, got in return for him. So I don't know. There's going to be some interesting pieces to play with, but to have him be the sort of head coach of the defensive side of the ball and let LaFleur not have to worry about the covering for, like when he took more of a kind of like an overarching look at the defense and said he was going to like have more of a hand in it toward the end of the season, the defense definitely got better. Yeah. But that's not what you want your head coach and play caller to be doing.
No. And it's funny because like in retrospect, that was the death knell. Like that was the indication that that Joe Barry was not coming back. And yet we were all still, because we're addicted to pain and used to it, we were all still like, I don't know, maybe he brings him back. It's like, yeah, we're not going to bring back this guy for another year, and then all year you're going to be co-defensive coordinator while you're also running the offense and, oh yeah, running the whole team. Like it's not going to happen.
It's not sustainable. Promoted to a position of incompetence, as they say in the corporate world.
Yep. Which, by the way, a little preview, we'll, speaking of corporate world, in a couple weeks, we'll do our end of season assessment. We'll bring back our Corpo Jargo segment. Nick, thanks for the reminder on that.
Appreciate it.
In the text thread. The other thing I think we heard about Halfley, and if you know things about defense, which I do not, then you've probably put this together, but more man than zone. And that also, I think, means being a little bit more aggressive at times. And so we were joking about Joey zones, and like third downs are not going to look like that anymore, as far as I can tell, which I am very excited for.
Yeah.
Yeah. And who cares? You're going to get burned from time to time. It's bound to happen, but I would rather get burned in those situations than give up the very obvious third and three, third and four, every single time you're going to convert there.
Well, this is where it's also, you know, Nick, you talked about Goot and nailing the last draft. Like it's going to be on Goot to really kind of replenish this defense, because when you're talking zone, you're talking third down and taking risks and being aggressive, it's really just about like having the guys to do the job and just asking them to go out there and make plays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they'll have a lot of tools for Haley, as your phone would say, to work with by the time we're talking at, you know, what is it, the end of April? When is it? The draft is April, right?
April. Sometime in April.
sometime after the conclusion of the draft, I think we'll be looking around at the, you know, all the things that he has to work with and feel pretty decent about it.
And I hope this is what this was in that John Meerdink Blue 58 podcast, and I saw it floating around Twitter as well. Richard Sherman, who is a like him or not, like someone who is a very smart student of the game, very successful defensive back for a lot of years, and when he was in San Francisco and they overlapped, he pointed out how Halfley made the game, like his preparation was, he was so prepared that he made things so digestible to his players, which and just made it easy to understand the way that he would call a defense, which is like paramount to a young defense. So if rather than over scheming and just like making it so like this is what your assignment is, do either this or that, like, you know, however it works, like we're all dumb football brains, but for the folks that really understand it, like if you have a boss who can give you a really, really specific like purpose and directive, then that's just going to make things all the easier. So hopefully that's the case.
Yeah, totally. Another thing that I'm excited for, interested to see how it plays out, is that, you know, they could have, you know, there's been a few defensive regime changes over the last however many years where the rest of the staff stays on, or most of the staff stays on, and I don't really know here or there like why that is per se, but that's not the case this time. It's a little bit more of a wholesale change, and I think that's good. It's just sometimes you just need to flush and get a fresh start. Let those coaches go, and a lot of them already have other jobs. And yeah, I'll be interested to see if that makes a difference as well, because some of the names let go had spanned, like this would have been their third defensive coordinator, which feels unusual. I don't think other teams usually do it that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clean slate.
I hope so. I think that on the defensive side, that clean slate is the best way to go at this point.
Damn right. Well, I don't know, guys. That's all I know about Jeff Hackett.
Yeah. What's funny is like Alex, you texted because we were going to do the pod last week Wednesday, and we're like, yeah, let's push it to next week. And then the news breaks right afterwards. You're like, oh, of course.
Like 40 minutes later.
Yeah. But then I thought about it. I'm like, we would have got on and had nothing to say about this guy. Nobody knew who he was. So it's better to have a week of
it. Would have done numbers, though. We could have had a pod that was just 4 seconds long of us just going, it's Jeff Halfley. And that's it. And it would have gotten like several thousand downloads.
That's a good point.
Should have done it, man, for the algorithm.
For the clicks, for the algo.
I don't know, guys. That's all I got on my little list. I don't know if you guys making any fun prop bets on this Super Bowl. Are we staying out of the gambling lane? Nick, something tells me you are not staying out of the gambling lane.
No, you brought it up before we got on, and I want to stay out of, like, I don't know. I don't want this to be a game that I don't care about, and then I'm invested in monetarily, and then I end up like losing money and going to bed angry. So maybe a couple shekels.
I feel like that
might out of my way. Let's get into an alley.
Do you see any props that are like commercial related or like halftime show related?
There's so much right now, and there's going to be more that come out. So I haven't even really fully looked. I mean, it would take forever to look all the way through it.
Well, as you guys are looking, are you actually like watching the game? Are you going to sit down with a group of people and watch the game?
Yeah, yeah, I will. Yeah, I will.
Yes.
There are always like anthem bets.
It's not on my list of things to do this weekend. I got to be honest. But maybe.
Yeah. I always begrudgingly watch it over the last, you know, more than decade, because I don't want to. And then I'm just like, well, I feel like it's one of those spectacles that.
My spouse is interested in the halftime show, so maybe I'll like have the game on mute and just keep an eye on it, and then when it's halftime, we'll crank the sound bar.
Yeah. So there are always those bets. Like, are they gonna, like, when there's like a big campaign, like a beer campaign, like how many times are you gonna, like, how many times are the Budweiser Clydesdales gonna come out or stuff like that? There are things you can find, probably. I don't know if they're on DraftKings or you find them otherwise, but I always like to, for a small amount of money, get involved in the coin flip just because it's fun. You win early, you lose early. I'll just be honest with you. I like
you spend
that.
All season talking about like smart Packers bets and just like coin flip. That's where my head's at.
Nothing more, metaphorical to the way that I assess all my gambling than a literal coin flip. So I haven't decided which way I'll go on that one, but I'll take a risk on that one. Tails never fails. Maybe that's where my head usually goes, but sometimes I'll switch it last minute. This is an interesting one that I saw earlier, and it is a jersey number over under 22.5 to score the first touchdown. And then the same bet is to score the last touchdown. So I was just going through my head about who's most likely to score on the Niners and who's most likely to score on the Chiefs. And that would be McCaffrey and that would be Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
And they're both over 22.5.
You got to go over.
No, like, you got Debo in there.
Ready to get hurt again.
That was an accident. But as long as there's money on the line.
Yeah. So I feel like you got to go over on that, right? McCaffrey's most likely to score for the Niners.
Definitely. First. The only thing, Rashee Rice, maybe?
What number is he?
I think he wears number 4, doesn't he?
Yeah. He's lower than 22.5.
He's like the only one I'm really scared of, I got to say. But I would.
And what number is Pacheco? But he's like 10, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it's going to be McCaffrey.
No, well, he's going to score. So, which brings me to another prop is McCaffrey anytime touchdowns, like -215, which is insane.
Yeah.
But two touchdowns is positive. So, I would probably take that over anytime, unless you want to throw a McCaffrey touchdown into like a parlay. You know, he's going to get in the end zone in some form or fashion. Also, Debo could score, and he's number 19.
Yep.
What number is Ayuk? He's 11, so that could be less than.
I mean,
so
there's
actually
a lot of guys, but
as we talk about it,
the two most obvious guys are higher numbers, but I don't know.
Well, anyway, is there a bet that you looked at that you potentially like, Alex?
Well, I like the one you just said. I didn't look at it, but now I feel compelled.
Sounds tasty.
Take it. I also feel compelled to take McCaffrey to score twice at minimum.
Yeah.
Man.
The other thing that I like is, and I'm sure I'll get hurt on this too, but based on all history points to the team with the better quarterback winning the Super Bowl. And that's quite evident is Patrick Mahomes, who's already done it and has been to a handful. The Chiefs are +2, which just leads me to believe that, like, and all the money and almost all the bets are on the Chiefs, but all the sharp money's on San Francisco, which is why the line is moving that way, but all the public is on the Chiefs. So if you're smart, you should probably bet on the 49ers. So I want to stay away from, I just want to stay away from the line in general, but I would take a Chiefs and over teaser to get the Chiefs up to like 8 or 8.5 and the over under down to 41.5, whatever it looks like. Cause you figure they're going to score more than that. You never, I mean, who the hell knows, but I would want to stay away from the straight line.
There's no Usher related props here on the,
oh, there definitely are. I haven't delved into them. How many, like, one of the big ones is like, what song will he open with?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Which it's probably not going to be because that's too obvious. I don't know what some of his, like, what are some of the more upbeat ones?
DJ Got Us Falling in Love.
That would be a good one to start with. Yep.
That is a road trip jam for my family.
Yeah.
That would be good. Most receiving yards somebody's going to have to lead the game in receiving.
Usher, most receiving.
I'll take that.
Brandon Ayuk is actually the lowest odds at plus 240. Kelsey's plus 260 feels like something you ought to...
Oh, Ayuk is a good one for that. Unless, do you know it's going to... Well, if you just took both of those and like a Rashi Rice or something, you're going to probably net positive.
I like that this podcast has now turned into Nick two martinis deep. I think drinking water to recover. Yeah. Just like talking about props. Oh, dude, that would be great.
Yeah. Well, listen, we're letting it fly. There's no structure at this point. Yeah.
Which, by the way, you know, you opened this little seg talking about the coin flip. I got to dispel the myth that the coin flip is 50-50. Scientifically, that is not true.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Care to elaborate?
A flipped coin has a 50.8% chance of landing on the same side up as when it was flipped. So 49.2% the other way. If it's heads up and you flip it, it's 50.8%. Nearly 50-50, but not quite.
So that's interesting, because I don't know if it's deliberate or it varies based on ref, or it's just absolutely, you know, totally random because they could fidget with it or whatever. But when they show the coin, they usually say blah 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 is heads, and then they flip it and then they say this is the tail. The tails are the last thing they display before they go to call.
But here's where it's different, though, because don't they show in the Super Bowl, isn't one face of the coin one team and one face of the coin the other team? So what is heads versus tails?
But that's what I mean. They're whatever is tails, they're flipping it, showing you last. But I don't know if they then flip it back.
Yeah.
So then it's heads up as they flip it. And I don't think that there's like a consistent rule for that. So we're really delving in and trying to get that extra point.
I thought about hitting the poker like halfway through that.
That would have been that would have been funny.
Yeah. I think you should.
We just continue to talk off pod. We'll be here all night.
Oh my god.
So, but no, I think anyway, McCaffrey 2 touchdowns, why not take a flyer on that? He's gonna get the ball a ton. They've got nothing left to lose with him. I don't want the Niners to win. I don't think the Niners are going to win, but if I did bet, I would probably take them.
Nick, are you in the black on your NFL betting season?
Oh, no chance. Although, no. You know what's really dangerous is DraftKings will, and I made I took a leap and went in and looked at the amount, because it gives you a whole betting slip for the year, how much you put in, how much you took out, what you wagered. And I was surprised to see that I had not, I was a lot closer to even than I thought that I would be. So good on me for that. I'm not a very big risk taker, I'll say.
I'm trying to find I'm doing a bad job, but I saw a tweet earlier today about the number of people inside the NFL who have been reprimanded recently for gambling on games, on NFL games.
It's a ton.
It's not good. It's not great, Bob.
No. That's going to be a problem.
Yeah. Who could have foreseen this? Who among us could have seen this coming?
Yeah. All right, we can go down a whole nother tangent another time.
On that note, I think we're going to hit the polka. We're running out of topic. We're running out of steam here. But I guess the Super Bowl is this weekend. Yeah, I might watch. I don't know. Who knows? I always say like I'm super apathetic and I'm not going to watch. And then it comes game time and I'm like, yeah, I got nothing else going on. I'll watch it. Just going to let the polka vamp for a second. All right, guys, keep it locked in to the podcast feed and acmepackingcompany.com for all of your Packers content needs all off season long. We are going to continue to try to keep bringing you some off season content here. every couple weeks we'll get together and talk until the show crashes and burns like this one. So, yeah, that's it for them. I'm me. We'll see you later.